Bible reading is from the Gospel according to St. Mark. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his garments became glistening, intensely white, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen, until the Son of Man should have risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. We hear the Gospels of the Transfiguration twice every year, on this feast in August, and also on the second Sunday of Lent. This year we hear Mark's account. It is an account in the first place of a transformation of Christ, a metamorphosis, a transfiguration, a change which occurs to Christ. The Christian tradition has thought of this in two ways, as a sudden revelation of the glory of the divine nature, which was Christ's, or a breaking in advance, an anticipation of the glory of the resurrection, which was to belong to the human nature of Jesus raised from the dead. So it is a transformation of Christ, but it is also a transformation of history. This wonderful tableau in which we see Moses and Elijah, but also Peter, James, and John. And it is almost as if they are fading into the background, Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, and Peter, James, and John are coming into prominence. They're coming into the foreground. Jesus begins talking with Moses and Elijah, but ends talking with Peter and James and John. So here we see this handover, as it were, the fulfillment of all that had gone before in the history of salvation, with the appearance of Moses and Elijah bearing witness to Jesus, the fulfillment of all that had gone before. And we also see the beginning of all that is to come, the apostles Peter, James, and John, who will bring the message of the resurrection, the message of the transfiguration of Jesus into the world. So it is a transformation of Christ. It is a transformation of history. It is a transformation of creation. The elements of the created world are at God's disposal. He can use them, as he has often used them in the Old Testament, to reveal his presence and his power and his call. The clothes become dazzling white. The cloud becomes the residence, the sign of the presence of the Eternal Father. In other accounts, we hear about the face of Jesus shining. So the elements of the created world are at God's disposal and can be used by him to serve his purposes of salvation and revelation. So we celebrate a transformation of Christ, a transformation of history, as the history of salvation moves into its definitive moment, a transformation of creation, as all the created realities are taken up and being used by God to serve his purposes. And there's finally a transformation of us. This is the reason why we read these Gospels again in Lent. We read them always on the second Sunday of Lent to remind us of this ongoing transformation, which is the Christian life. We are being transformed, being changed, Paul says in the second letter to the Corinthians, into the likeness of Christ from one degree of glory to another. So if there is his metamorphosis, his transformation, there is also our metamorphosis, our transformation into him, being turned into the likeness of Christ from one degree of glory to another. In Romans, Paul speaks about this again. I appeal to you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosized by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So how does this transformation continue in us? In the first place, by our listening to him, by our obedience, by our prayer and our faith. This is what the voice from the cloud tells us to do. Listen to him, attend to him, look at him, reflect on him, be present to him. The transformation continues also through the sacramental life of the church. In the first place, through our baptism, we have been conformed to Christ. We have already participated sacramentally in his death and resurrection. Peter of Blois, for example, saw in the white garments of the transfigured Jesus those Christians who have put on Christ in baptism and become white as snow. So our transformation begins with baptism, but continues in the Eucharistic life of the Church, in particular, in the transformations which occur there, the transformation of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, the transformation of those who participate in the Eucharist, those who receive the body and blood of Christ, their transformation to become what it is that they have eaten, to become him, to be transformed into Christ. It is all towards the resurrection of the dead. At the end of the story of the Transfiguration, the disciples are told not to talk about this until he had risen from the dead, and it leaves them wondering. These transformations are all towards that, towards the eternal life, towards the resurrected life in the eternal kingdom. The transformation of Christ, which anticipates his resurrection, the transformation of history, which is leading towards the revelation of eternal life, the transformation of creation, so that it becomes part of the new heavens and the new earth, the transformation of us, so that we might become more and more like him, move closer and closer towards him, and be able to say always with Peter, Master, it is well that we are here.